around the world. The Spirit is moving and a voice is being heard. Welcome to The Voice of Evangelism with David Langford. You can write to The Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. We'll give you that address again at the close of today's broadcast. But here now is David Langford.
Good evening, friends. This is Pastor David Langford, and we greet you today. We welcome you to this edition of The Voice of Evangelism International Ministries. It's a treat for us to be with you today and to bring to you scriptures from the Holy Writ, the Word of God. Let me remind you of the meeting in Branson, September the 15th, 16th, and 17th. Steve Quayle, Tom Horn, L.A. Marzulli, Dr. Lake, and Rambla, Derek Gilbert, and then myself, Pastor David Langford, will be sharing with you in this great venue. I'm just praying and asking God to touch us. And of course, Steve is in agreement with me that we will be touched by the Holy Ghost as never before. We're living in an hour, and we're living in a day when we need the touch of God. If we do not seek for His touch, we will wane, we will diminish, and we will utterly perish. I want you to listen to the words of Christ in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Christ doesn't want you to perish. That word perish in the Greek means to be utterly lost. It's like perishable goods, cheese, butter, milk. Set it in the hot sun. Suffer it to not be refrigerated, and it will perish and be utterly ruined and no good. Christ does not want that to happen to you. And so we are coming together in this meeting, asking God to show up and to touch us greatly. And I'm praying that God will open a door wherein we can have about four of these kind of meetings a year in different locations of the United States. Pray with me that God will open the door and make this door available and opened. Again, my book is ready, The New Jerusalem Bride and the Mystery of the Church. And we totally obliterate the ideology, and that's all it is. It's an ideology that the church is the bride of Christ. That is subtle in its own context, because that's how Satan is going to substitute the true church, the bride of Christ, with a harlot church, which is feminine, in Revelation 17 and 5. She's the mother of harlots. That is femininity. She rides the beast. That is the substitutionary church. But the church is the body of Jesus Christ, our Lord. It is amazing how many people teach error unknowingly. If the church was the bride of Christ, you would think one of the apostles in one of the epistles would have made that clear without a doubt. But we don't have such. Ephesians 5 and 30 says, for we are members of His body. His, that's a pronoun. That is a man. Of His flesh. Again, His is a pronoun. Masculine, a man. And of His bones. Again, His is a pronoun. A man. This is the subtlety of Satan. He is so subtle, and he allows people to, or suffers people to go down a path of error, erroneous teachings. Nowhere do we ever see the church, the body of Christ, defined as a woman. That is what Satan is going to do. Before I get into the scriptures today, before I even do that, let me encourage you to get a copy of this book. $15 love gift. We'll get the book out in the mail to you ASAP. Read it. It's about 224 pages long. It is inundated with scriptures. I mean a plethora of scriptures. And it will bless you because of the word of God. Amen. I want to play a song today. You've heard me play it before. It's the Singing Nightingales, some black brothers who love the Lord and sing this song. I'm taking it back. And I pray you'll be strengthened and encouraged to take back what the devil has stolen from you. Amen.
They will admit it. They will tell you that Satan has stolen at least one thing or the other from them. Now you may even know of someone that used to come to church and sing their favorite song. But for some reason or another, they don't sing it anymore. Well, I would suggest to you that Satan has come in and stolen away their song. Can I get a witness? Yeah. You may know of someone that used to shout and dance all over the church. No longer do they shout and dance anymore. I suggest to you that Satan has come in and stolen away their shout, their dance, and maybe even their joy. But I want somebody that's under the sound of my voice here today, somebody that has experienced the thievery of Satan, I want you to know that I'm serving notice on the devil today, that we're on our way down to his camp. And when we get down there, we're not just taking back one or two things. We're not just taking back some of the things. Can I get a witness in here? But I want Satan to know that when we get down there, we're coming back to take everything that the devil stole from us. I want you to put your hand together in here. Let's have a little church. Come on. I'm taking back everything that the devil stole from me. I'm taking back everything that the devil stole from me. I'm taking back my song, my dance, my joy, and my peace. I'm taking back everything that the devil stole from me. I'm taking back everything that the devil stole from me. I'm taking back everything that the devil stole from me. I'm taking back my song, my dance, my joy, and my peace. I'm taking back everything that the devil stole.
my friend, every blood-bought, born-again child of God needs to take back everything Satan has stolen from us. He's a thief. John 10:10, the thief. I want to get that in your spirit today. He's a thief. Most people don't like thieves. Why? Because they work hard to acquire their assets. And they take care of their house, their home, their land, their cars, their trucks. And then some thief comes along and steals it. Who worked, who did nothing. That's who the devil is, a thief. And Jesus said he comes for three reasons: to kill, to steal, and to destroy. And to actually think people want to worship him, and to think that people are going to worship him. And he steals, he kills, and he destroys. And people castigate Christians for their strong stance against same-sex marriage, against abortion, murdering children. And we have some kind of neurological phobia, some kind of neurological disease. Sin will make you crazy. God's grace will restore your right mind. I want to go to Daniel chapter 7 today. Daniel chapter 7, beginning at verse 23. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down, and break it in pieces. And the ten horns out of this kingdom are ten kings that shall arise, and another shall come after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue three kings, and he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of time. That is 3 1/2 years. Time is 1, times is 2, now you have 3, and the dividing of time would be a half, 3 1/2 years. But the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and to destroy it unto the end. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. And all dominions or all rulers shall serve and obey him. All rulers shall serve and obey him. This is talking about Jesus. Hitherto is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my cogitations much troubled me, and my countenance changed in me, but I kept the matter in my heart. I want to speak to you today about the Antichrist. The Antichrist. The greatest deception that the world has ever seen or heard will soon take place. Satan is the master of delusion, deception, and perversion. Deception will be his calling card in this infamous hour. All throughout the Word of God, we witness, as the Scriptures tell us, of the deceptive powers of Satan and how the man of sin will ultimately arise in the final days. Paul declared in 2 Corinthians 4:4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Satan is blinding a plethora of people. 2 Corinthians 11:14, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Satan has his minions. He's going to have his Messiah. He's going to bring this man on the world scene, and this man of sin, the Antichrist, will make his debut and declare infamously that he is God. 2 Timothy 3:13, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Jesus said himself in Matthew 24:24, for there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. If it were possible, but it's not possible. That's what he's saying. He is saying emphatically, it is impossible. It is in no way possible for Satan to deceive the elect of God. I know many people live in fear when they read that verse, and they say within themselves, if it were possible. What you've got to understand, Jesus was adamant. He was ardent. He was unyielding in that passage, telling you it is impossible for the elect to be deceived. You've got to believe that. The condition involves no doubt as to its being impossible. Insomuch that if it were, it's impossible for the elect to be deceived. You don't have to live in fear. You live in faith in God. Matthew 24:11, and many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. Many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. Matthew 7:15. Beware of false prophets, which come to you wearing sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruit. I can't get over the dream I had some weeks ago. I was in a huge auditorium. I was preaching. And in this auditorium, as I was preaching, the Holy Ghost fell all over me. The anointing was so rich. And I said, the false prophets, the false teachers today, their sermons are about you. They're about you. Listen to what men and women on television are saying. They're talking all about you. You this, you that. You're this, you're that. Your destiny, your blessing, your reaping. They're not preaching Jesus. The message should be about Jesus Christ, or preach against sin, or preach repentance. No. They preach about you having a better life. As the United Nations was coming to fruition, one of the founding fathers, better known as Dr. Henry Spake, made a bold and profound statement. And I want to quote him. Dr. Henry Spake said, we have too many committees, too many councils. We have too many people making too many decisions. We need one man to rule the world. Whether this man be sent from God or the devil, we need someone to rule the world. This man was expressly talking about the rise of the Antichrist. Now, you've got people running around and telling you there is not going to be a literal Antichrist. It is only a spirit. Well, you've got to understand, God has a spirit. John 4:22, ye worship, you know not what, and the hour cometh, and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit. God is a spirit. But God was manifest in the flesh. A human being called Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Satan has a spirit. His spirit, his nature, entered into Judas. John 13, 27. He handed him the sop, and then Satan entered into him. Not physically, but spiritually, that spirit of destruction, that spirit of perdition, came into Judas Iscariot. This man of sin. He's going to come on the scene. As I'm speaking to you, this will be one of the great judgments in the earth that God will allow to come to fruition, and that is the manifestation of the Antichrist. Now, I know there are those who will tell you there's not going to be a literal Antichrist. They are lying to you, my friend. That's why many will be deceived. They're telling you there won't be such a man, but there is coming a man, because Daniel spoke of this man. Daniel spoke of this man. He didn't say he was a spirit. He called him a man. You see, people today, regretfully, don't like the truth. Daniel 7:11. I beheld then because of the voice of the great words which the horn, the Antichrist, spake. I beheld even till the beast was slain and his body destroyed and giving to the burning flames. That's a man who has a body. And that body's destroyed and given to the burning flames. That's Revelation 20 and verse 10. Daniel 7:25, our scripture text. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times. Who? This man. Listen closely to me today. Be very attentive to what I'm teaching and preaching today. 2 Thessalonians 2:3. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man, this tells me the Antichrist is a man. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first. What day shall not come? Verse 1. The coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him. Back to verse 3. That day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man, he is a man, that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Anybody who tells you the Antichrist is not a man, it's only a spirit, is lying to you. They are deceived already. That's why they will accept him. They're already deceived. They're denying the Holy Writ. Paul said, let no man deceive you. This man of sin is coming to fruition, just as Judas Iscariot was a man, and Judas Iscariot was called the son of perdition. So this man, too, is called the son of perdition, amen. How do I know? John 17 and 12. In the Garden of Gethsemane, while in prayer, Jesus said, while I was with them in the world, I have kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Jesus calls Judas Iscariot, which is a man, he calls him the son of perdition, or the son of destruction. Let no man tell you emphatically he is a man. And that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things, and now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way. Then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Then shall that wicked be revealed. This man will be revealed. He will be made manifest. He will be known throughout the world. But the Lord shall consume him with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him, that's a pronoun, that's a male masculine pronoun. Even him whose coming is after. He is not Satan personified. He is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned, who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. I charge you today, in the name of the living God, to believe me. If you do not believe the truth, you won't be saved. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness, and them that perish. I told you at the beginning of this program, God does not want you to perish. I had no idea when I opened this program up that I would be talking about John 3:16, perishing. And then as I get into the sermon, when I get into the message, the Word of God again reiterates that they perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. You'll either be perishing, dying lost, or saved by the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. They will perish because they receive not the love. Do you have a love for the truth? Because they are deceived. Because they are unrighteous. For this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all, not some, not a few, but that they all might be damned, who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Oh, this is not cotton candy, fluff and stuff preaching today. This is thus saith the word of the Lord. This is thus saith God Almighty. The reason this man is going to appear is because it is the finality of the dispensation as we know the world. Matthew 28:20, lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world, or the Greek says the end of the age. This is the closing dispensation of this time frame, when the Antichrist is revealed. This man of sin will appear to be the expected deliverer. And thus we are told in the 13th chapter of the book of Revelation that the world is going to worship this beast. Revelation 13:3 says, and all the world wandered after the beast, and they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast, and they worshiped the beast, or the Antichrist, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? There again, him. It's a man. I'm telling you, I feel this so powerfully today. Don't let anybody tell you there's not going to be a literal Antichrist. I've heard all of their garbage. I've heard all of their rhetoric. I've heard all of their jargon. Nos, the temple. You are the temple. It's a spiritual application that the Antichrist spirit sets on the throne of your heart. That's a lie. This is a man who's going to sit in the temple of God that Israel will rebuild. And that's why he will be the abomination of desolation. Matthew 24:15, when you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, then in most of your King James versions of the Bible, it will have in parentheses, whosoever readeth, see, let him understand. Let him understand. See, they don't understand, so they tell you a lie. It's not a man, it's just a system. It's not a man, it's just a spirit. Well, God has a spirit, but God also became man. They're going to worship him. This man is going to be phenomenal in the displays that he produces and brings forth to get the world to believe him. Let me go back and quote 2 Thessalonians 2, beginning at verse 7. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness. And them that perish because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. They refuse to embrace the truth. These people who are preaching this heresy, that there is no Antichrist, I wonder, they probably too will not be saved because they don't believe the truth. I have so many people, as you well know, want to argue with me, want to debate me in contention and strife about things that I preach. But I tell every one of you, you've got to reconcile the scriptures. It's like an accounting book. You've got to reconcile the numbers. You've got to reconcile the scriptures. Somebody will give me some off-the-wall nonsense. I say, well, then let you explain to me this particular verse. Explain it to me now. We got to make this verse and Daniel 7 and 11 work correctly according to the book of Revelation 19 and 18 and 20 and 10. Listen to Revelation 19 and 20. I said 18. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. The Antichrist, the false prophet, are cast alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone. Now, we see that again in Revelation 20 and verse 10. And the devil, Satan, that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. I saw another jackal on television the other day who said Sodom and Gomorrah was built on a volcano. What asininity. This guy is supposed to be a Pentecostal. He's supposed to be spirit-filled. The Bible doesn't say it was built on a volcano. It said God rained hell, fire, and brimstone. Why can't they believe what the Word of God tells us? They got to add something to it. Those people scare me. They're adding to the Word of God, and they're taking away from the Word of God. And they're telling you things that the Bible does not even allude to. Next, they'll be telling us God didn't prepare a great fish to swallow Jonah. But the Bible said God prepared a great fish, a whale, a mammal. And swallowed up Jonah. The Bible is clear. God rained hellfire and brimstone. Why is that not good enough? Why is that not good enough? Genesis 19:24. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. But they want to tell you a volcano. They're just adding to the scriptures. Leon Wood, who wrote the book, I had to read it when I was in the Church of God, Survey of Israel's History. I had to read that book so that I might be ordained. He said Sodom and Gomorrah was built on asphalt. There was natural gas under it. An earthquake happened. The earth opened up. A thunderstorm happened to come up. Lightning hit the place, blew it up. And I'm thinking, what asininity. The Bible is concise. The Bible is clear. It says that God rained hellfire and brimstone. Revelation 22:19, and if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. Why would you do that? You think you're smarter than God? You think you are so inept, you are so incompetent, you got to create another fantasy world for God. God doesn't need you to do that. I just talked to you the other day about a flea moving a mountain. Ephesians 3:20, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we may ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. You can't think of something that God couldn't do. When I look at the majesty and the deity of God, how he threw out all of the planets that we are aware of in our solar system, in our galaxy, the Earth, the Moon, the Sun, Jupiter, Saturn, Pluto, Mars. What does it hang on? What does the Earth hang on? Nothing. God just speaks the word, and there it is. There are people out there who are also misinterpreting the word anti. Look up the word anti in your dictionary. Anti does not mean in place of. It means against. If you are anti-Semitic, you are against the Jewish people. The Antichrist is anti. He is against Christ. See, 2 Thessalonians 2:4 says, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God. He's going to say, I am better than Allah. I am better than any religion, Hindu, Buddha, even the God of Abraham under the Jewish mindset. He will declare he's greater than Christ, the Son of the living God. Remember, he opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshiped, so that he, as God, he's going to tell the world, I'm God Almighty. And he'll snap his fingers and with the endorsement of the false prophet. And the false prophet will tell the people, you need to make an image like unto the beast. And then the false prophet is going to give power or give life. The Greek says he will give breath to the image of the beast. The reason I believe it'll be under the auspices of the Catholic Church is because they embrace apparitions greater than any other religion that I'm aware of. The Bible tells us in Revelation 13:15, and he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Can you imagine a man anointing or giving breath to an image, a statue? You see, that is the abomination of desolation. And I've heard every cynical teaching that you could imagine on that. But you see, one of the Ten Commandments is, thou shalt not worship or serve any graven image or gods. This is exactly what will open the eyes of the Jews when that happens. They're going to say, oh my God. Lord, what have we done? What have we done? Yes, we have worshipped, or a man has brought in an idol and declared that it is God. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children under the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. Make a little point of reference here and of clarity. Sins of the fathers. You say, well, my father was a sinner. But see, notice how he put the phrase on there with that, of them that hate me. He allows that perpetuity of sins and judgment. Preachers say, well, the Antichrist will try to imitate or emulate or pretend to be the Christ or to come in the place of Christ. When someone is anti, that means they are against. I'm anti-abortion. I am against murdering children. He is called the Antichrist. Why? Because he is the man, the son of perdition. The son of perdition. Now the world is getting ready for the revelation of this man. But I believe before this can happen, there will be another temple built in Jerusalem. And I base that finding upon Revelation 11. Verse 1, and there was given me a reed like unto a rod. And the angel stood, saying, rise and measure the temple of God. John could not measure any man's heart with a reed like unto a rod. This is a spiritual application here about a physical, literal temple. It'd be like God saying to you or I, take this yardstick, take this tape measure, and measure the temple of God and the altar. The word altar simply means a place to meet God. Every Old Testament patriarch built an altar, and there they worshiped God. Rise, measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. But the court which is without the temple, leave out. See, you have three dimensions of the temple. The outer court, the holy place, the holy of holies. But the court which is without. You are the temple of God now. I know that Naos, N-A-O-S. That's one of the Greek words for temple. This is a literal temple because it talks about a three-dimensional temple. The court that is without the temple, leave out and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. He's measuring the inner court and the most holy place in a sense, but he's telling John that the outer court is given to the Gentiles. Now, that is succinct with Luke 21:24, you see, the day, the hour is coming in the which we know according to Zechariah 12, 13, and 14. Those three chapters really should be put together. It is men, and when they canonized the scriptures, they broke it up into chapters and verses. But chapters 12, 13, and 14 of Ezekiel should all be together. But in Luke 21:24, and they shall fall by the edge of the sword and shall be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem shall be treaden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. What is the time of the Gentiles? 42 months. The Antichrist will be a Gentile. Then to counter that manifestation of the Antichrist, Christ is going to anoint these two witnesses. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. That's 3.5 years. That is time and times and the dividing of time. He gives these men power. They had power to shut up heaven. Who did that previously? Elijah. He declared a famine on the land during the reign of King Ahab and Jezebel. These have power to shut heaven that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters to turn them to blood. Who did that? Moses. Who was it that stood with Christ at his mount, at the Mount Transfiguration? Moses and Elijah. Luke 9:28. And it came to pass about 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistering. And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory, and spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. Now, I don't know how God does all of this stuff. We know Jesus had not died and rose again, therefore leading captivity captive, Ephesians 4:10. He led a procession. But because Christ had not yet conquered death and hell, men were still held captive by the power of death. Now, these men, Moses and Elijah, however, were seen and talked with him. So, their spiritual men, their spiritual bodies must have evidently been there with Christ. Because, and behold, there talked with him, talked with Jesus, two men, Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory, spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. But Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep. And when they were awake, they saw his glory. And the two men that stood with him, they saw these two men. They recognized these two men somehow. And it came to pass, as they departed from him, Peter said unto Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, one for Elijah, not knowing what he said. Somehow, some way, Peter grasped these men. Something is coming. Something is coming down the pike. The Antichrist will be made manifest, and you need spiritual discernment so that you can unequivocally know this man of sin when he is revealed. Now, three times in 2 Thessalonians 2, it says he shall be revealed. Verse 3, I'll quote it. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. There's your first time, the word revealed, because this man is going to be revealed. Then verse 6, and now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. He, again, masculine pronoun, shall be revealed in his time. Verse 8, and then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Don't let no one talk you out of believing. There is no literal Antichrist. I'm telling you, folks, I hate to be ugly, but I get so tired of people who don't know their Bible, yet they think they know their Bible, and they tell people, don't you worry, it's just a spirit. It's just a spirit. It's not a reality. It is a reality. He is a man. Just like Judas Iscariot was a man. Judas was called the son of perdition. Don't you let nobody dupe you, deceive you into believing that there's not going to be the fulfillment of a literal Antichrist. It is a man. Daniel said his body. How much more plain does the Word of God have to be to get some people to listen to it and understand it and take it for what he said? I beheld even till the beast was slain and his body destroyed and given to the burning flames. Daniel calls him a beast. John the Revelator calls him a beast. Look how synonymous the scriptures are. The beast in the Old Testament, the beast in the New Testament. I've never seen such a time. And I'm going to tell you something. Two things make these false prophets and these ministers arrogant, bigoted, and self-righteous. Money and the following. Therefore, they say God is in it. I even heard Joyce Meyer say, this all has to be of God for me to be this big and have this much money and this large of a following. I heard her say it. Listen, it's not going to be the many. I've told you so many times, when you see the word many, look at it. It's always in a negative light. 2 Corinthians 2:17, for we are not as many which corrupt the word of God. Many corrupt God's word. Volcano. Sodom and Gomorrah built on a volcano. What nonsense. Listen. God took nothing and made something. You've heard me tell the little story about the scientist that became so bigoted and so arrogant. And he said, God, we are so smart now, we can do anything. We've built planes and rockets and spaceships and artificial intelligence. And we've done this and done that. Said, we're to the degree we can build a man. God said, you can? He said, yes, we can build a man. And the scientist reached down and took up some dirt out of the earth. And God said, whoa, pal, get your own dirt. If you can do this, you get your own dirt. Don't you take what I made. It just shows you the deity of God. Man is nothing. And yet we walk around puffed up, proud, arrogant, thinking we're something. When all we are flesh and blood. That's why Paul said flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. You got to have a glorified body. Like Jesus Christ. You've got to have it. You've got to have it, folks. If you don't, you can't inherit the kingdom of God. You've got to have a glorified body. 1 John 3:1 says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because they knew him not. Beloved, it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope purifieth himself, even as he is pure. It doth not yet appear what we shall be. John was being so honest. He said, I don't know the makeup. It's not flesh and blood. Jesus told the disciples in Luke 24:39, he said, touch me. They thought they saw a spirit. He said, touch me. Behold my hands. My feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bone, as ye see me have. He didn't mention blood, but he said, I got flesh and I got bones. And the Holy Ghost, the spirit of life that quickened and raised Jesus from the dead, was coursing through his body. And it will be coursing in you. That's why you have to have a glorified body. This corruptible cannot enter into the kingdom of God. It must be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. It must become incorruptible. We are born again by incorruptible seed, Peter said. God's word is not corruptible. Men try and corrupt it, but that's men. God's word is not corrupt. Men corrupt it. Men corrupt it. There is coming an Antichrist. He will be a world leader. I've heard everybody and his brother, that's just a rhetorical statement. Everybody said Obama was the Antichrist. I mean, I heard so much nonsense. He said he wouldn't leave the office of the presidency. He's gone. But see, things aren't getting better. For the most part, things are getting worse. And I want to encourage you today, walk your walk with Christ. Do not allow people to deceive you. Measure everything by the word of God. Every prophetic utterance, every purported prophetic dream, every purported prophetic vision, measure it by the word of God. Jesus said, the Holy Ghost will testify of me. Me. That's what he said. The Holy Ghost will testify of me. The Holy Ghost does not speak of himself. He does not speak an error. He is called in John 16:13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he is called the Spirit of truth. Why? Because there's no error in him. None. Whatsoever. May the Lord God of Abraham watch over you and your family. May you abide in his word and his word abide in you. May you stand strong. Having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. It is the truth, Jesus said, that sets men free. The only thing that sets men free is truth. We just watched another prosperity preacher be brought down. These men will be exposed, either now or in the judgment seat of Christ. God bless you. Keep your eyes upon Jesus. People will disappoint you. People will fail you. But Christ Jesus will never disappoint you. He will neither fail you either. Have a blessed week in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
The Voice of Evangelism with David Langford is brought to you by the faithful listeners and supporters throughout America. If you're looking for an uncompromising message, we invite you to tune in each week to The Voice of Evangelism. For more information, write to The Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. That's P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020.